So really my understanding of energy work is this idea of working at the foundational level of the patterns that are playing out in our lives, in our bodies, in our relationships.
Welcome to Hippie Critical.
Manifestation.
Raves and transformational festivals.
Sound healing.
Tantra is about being embodied.
To go completely barefoot.
Someone that tries every single sort of hippie practice.
Very subjective experiences.
Skepticism is totally healthy.
From the counterculture to the common culture.
We have Julia here today, who is a Reiki master and an energy healer based out here in LA. And I'm super excited to talk to you, Julia.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Let's just start off with, how did you get into Reiki?
I found Reiki and energy healing at a time of crisis in my own life. So I totally fell into it from a place of my own healing journey and from a very skeptical place. I was convinced I'd totally lost my mind when I first went to try it. But something in my first experience with it really grabbed me. I just felt this very visceral interaction with the healing session, and it just struck my curiosity. That was about 5 years ago. And so I just kept following my curiosity and exploring it. And years later now, it is my full-time job, both teaching it and practicing on clients.
One of the things that really gravitated me to having this conversation with you is it doesn't seem like you always came from necessarily like a spiritual background, and you were also a skeptic, but then you, like 5 years ago, started really exploring this journey, which I think is a perfect place for people who are listening and have that beginning curiosity, but might have some judgment, might have some assumptions about all of this. And I would just love to dig into like what was going on in your head at the beginning of this journey and the doubts that you had, perhaps the thoughts you were having.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember going into my first session. I couldn't tell you how I found my way to it. I just all of a sudden was on my way to a Reiki, to an energy healing session. And I was just the whole time going, oh my God, I've lost my mind. Like, I've totally lost my mind. I've gone insane. This is so crazy. You can't tell anyone you're doing this. This is so crazy. Really, and honestly, so many points in this whole journey I've had, I continue to feel like I'm crazy at different moments. So my skeptical mind never really stepped aside. I've in fact, like, let that skeptical mind be there at every step and just said, okay, we can be skeptical, but also let's be curious. And I encourage a lot of my clients and my students that same thing of like, you're allowed to be skeptical of this stuff, actually. It's totally okay. You can be skeptical and still curious and just see and just try things and see what resonates.
And I think that's a perfect segue into what is Reiki at first, and then maybe diving back into what Reiki did for you in that initial session.
Reiki is a form of energy healing. And there's a lot of different traditions of energy healing. And at this point, I work in a lot of different traditions of energy healing. So my foundations are in Reiki, but I consider myself just an energy worker. And I think that it's all sort of the same thing. We just have different tools that we can use. And the basic idea of energy work is this idea that energy is the building blocks of everything that we experience. It's the foundations of our emotional experience, our thought patterns, all the way up to our physical well-being. And so if we work at an energetic level, we shift everything else toward alignment, toward health, toward wellness, and we can do it in a way that becomes foundational and sustainable. You know, we can talk about an issue forever and we can understand something at a mental level, but if energetically there's still something out of alignment, or if energetically we're still holding on to a certain experience or just a pattern around an experience we've had, it's going to be really hard for our mental patterns to hold on to any of the work we do at that level. Same with physical, same with emotional. So really my understanding of energy work is this idea of working at the foundational level of the patterns that are playing out in our lives, in our bodies, in our relationships, in our communities, all of it.
And with energy, I know this might sound almost crazy, but how would you define it? When I hear the word energy, I think back to maybe grade school science, where it's like, this is a joule, these are amps and all that. And then on the personal side, I think like, okay, today I feel like, the gradients of what I understand to be energy pre- like looking into all the topics within the spiritual world, the fundamental level of like, you know, science and how to measure energy. And then another personal level of this is how I feel and I have good energy, I have bad energy. high or low. I guess the deepest level I've gone into before this is getting a sense of people's energy and my own energy in a broader sense of like, ooh, this person kind of has like has a vibe about them. So I would love to hear how you think about energy in the first place.
You know, I think about it across all those levels. And what I love as I've gotten deeper into this is this doesn't discount science. It actually confirms the things that we know through science. It confirms the things that we have felt through our experience. It confirms the ways that we get to know ourselves day to day. You know, like energy is that, you know, on a scientific level, we talk about this, about atoms vibrating at a certain speed, right? And they vibrate fast enough that they can create density. And now I'm sitting in a chair. You know, like we know that in science, that the chair is actually just a bunch of molecules at different densities. And so we have a chair that's incredibly dense, and then we have a feeling that's much less dense than chair, but it's still made up of molecules, you know, that we have emotions that run through our body, and there's a chemical makeup to our emotions. So I think of energy as the density of vibration of the matter that's coming together and forming, you know? And so we can take that matter and we can restructure it and we can shift it and we can align it and we can work with the matter. So on a scientific level, you know, I think of it in that sense. And then, you know, on an energetic, on an emotional level, like the way you describe interacting with a person and just getting a sense of something about them, whether feeling very drawn to them or whether feeling like, we didn't quite get along and I can't put my finger on it. Everyone's had those experiences, right? Of feeling something on someone that didn't feel quite right, or walking into a room and going, whoa, something weird just happened here. And I don't know what, but I can feel it. You know, the room feels weird, or being in a meeting and the meeting shifts because something gets said or someone's feeling a certain way. You know, when I talk to people, like I often try to remind people, we all actually do have this experience of interacting with energy. We just haven't been told that that's what we're doing. If I walk into a room and I feel strange in that room, I'm feeling into the energy of that room. It's underneath anything that can happen. It's underneath any words exchanged. I felt something. That's me reading energy. And we all do that.
And it seems like there might be an inverse relationship. People can bring energy and change the environment, or also maybe pick up on the environment and maybe for better or worse, sometimes let the environment's energy like affect them too much. Like I'm thinking in terms of especially like social places, workplaces.
Yeah. You know, that's just the truth, that the energy impacts us and we impact energy. If we understand that that's sort of how the system works, then we can work proactively with the system, right? So if I walk into a room that feels sort of yucky and I know what's happening, then I can proactively go, okay, I'm not going to let the energy of this room influence me. And in fact, I'm going to actually try to positively influence the energy of this room. When I understand that that's the reality, then I can work with it. But if I don't understand that that's the reality, if I don't understand that this is the nature of reality, which is really how I think about it, that energy is just the nature of reality. And most of us just haven't been taught that. So if I don't realize that that's the nature of reality, then when I walk into a room, suddenly I feel sick and I don't know why I feel sick. Well, it's because I'm being influenced by the energy in that room. And I don't have to be. I'm ignorant to the system at play. And so now I'm a victim of it.
So for someone who walks into your practice looking for some Reiki work, for energy work, how are you working with their energy? Like, what does that look like?
When I work with a client one-on-one, we'll start usually with a little bit of talking, similar to what you might do in a therapy or a coaching session, just to tune in to what feels present for them. What are they coming in for? What are they wanting a shift for? And most people come in with, in the beginning, a very specific thing, right? They're like, I'm having this relationship issue, or I need to make more money, or, you know, it's usually these very like focused issues, and it's sort of like, okay, just fix this issue and we'll be good. Can you just like align that chakra just right so that the issue's fixed? And, you know, and just because that's the way most people have come to understand or have thought about energy work, is sort of just like, oh, my chakra's out of balance, and that's why, you know, I'm not making enough money. And if I just, you know, if we just shift that a little bit, then the money will come in. And the truth of it for me is that when I, you know, we talk and I get a read on the person and we connect in that way. And then when they get on the table and I start actually working in their energy field, what I'm doing is I'm tuning into what's usually foundational core beliefs, often foundational traumas that are inhibiting the person to have a healthy perspective on their life, on their interactions, on life as a whole. Mm-hmm. And those foundational traumas usually come back to our sense of feeling connected and supported. And they usually come back to our sense of feeling safe. They usually come back to our sense of feeling trust in ourselves. You know, we're usually circling back to a few core foundational wounds. And so when we work at that level, then everything else takes care of itself. Then the money does come in. Then the relationships do align. Then we are more empowered to find the work that is aligned with our values. Then we are more empowered to start being of service in the world and actually, you know, making choices that are benefiting the greater whole. My belief around this stuff is like we have to get down to the root of the issues.
And how do you do that with a client? I hear that you engage them through conversation. And then what else do you do?
So energy work is me using my body and my energy field to both read their energy field. So I can pick up and, you know, I've trained and attuned myself to be able to read energy. So I can read their energy field. I can tune into places both in their body and then just across the timeline of their life where there may have been events, issues that created disharmony or dysfunction. And then I am now channeling energy and working with energy to adjust those patterns, to offer a healing energy to any traumas or woundings, to sort of realign anything that's gotten out of harmony. So when I do a session, it is both diagnostic in the sense that I'm reading their field and I'm sort of tuning into what's the actual issue underneath the issue. And then I'm also using channeled energy to begin to heal and move those issues toward greater health and alignment. I get that that's a stretch for people to, like, someone listening would go like, what do you mean you're reading energy and what do you mean you're channeling energy? Totally get that that's a stretch of the mind, you know?
I was exactly going to ask that, but first going to have you help us define what is energy field?
Okay, great. So I have my physical body and then I have layers of energy that sort of radiate off my body that is still a part of my system that is my energy. And in these practices, we believe that we hold our different issues, imbalances, whatever they might be, in our field. So, and in fact, they're in the field, whether they're getting better or worse, right? Through our attention of through positive attention or a negative attention, those issues that are in our field can gain a density and now they become more and more part of our physical reality. So in energy work, we would even say that a lot of physical issues start with some sort of emotional or energetic root. And so we can actually feel that out into someone's field before it might manifest as a physical issue. Vice versa, some things are just physical, right? Sometimes we just have accidents, things happen, shit happens. And we have a physical incident, but that physical incident also comes with an emotional energetic pattern, right? If someone's chronically sick, there's emotions that come with being sick. We might be treating the physical body, but we're not always treating the emotional body that's responding to being sick. Or I've had a lot of athletes that come for injuries, right? So it's just an injury. They tore an ACL. They're addressing the physical injury, but what they haven't addressed is the emotional mental trauma that came around having that injury. And I had one client who came, her surgeon actually sent her to me because she had an ACL tear. They did the surgeries. Actually, she had a surgery that failed. She had a second surgery, right? So that's also traumatic. She had two surgeries. So she has all this physical care around the knee and everything should have healed. The surgeon essentially said to her, your knee is perfect, but it's not working the way it should. Physically, it's perfect. And he said, the reason it's not gaining its function back is because you have a mental and emotional block around this. There was trauma around the incident. And so until we heal the trauma, the mental, emotional component of the accident, the physical body's not going to respond.
Wow, fascinating. And I totally want to dig into the tie-in to medicine later. You just opened up something for me, which is I always visualize a field as almost kind of like a force field around a person. So when you're mm-hmm. talking about an energy field, I was literally imagining this kind of cool bubble around a person.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's what you're meaning, but what I got more out of it when you were describing an energy field is kind of more internal. Like what is like in your body, almost like an energy map inside your body, and maybe where trauma or tension is being held. How do you visualize that? Because, you know, we're in audio format.
So what's cool about what you just described is actually that matches two different versions of the energy field or the aura, as a lot of people call it, that I've studied across two different traditions. And so there's a lot of traditions that imagine that radiating bubble, right? That we have a force field that radiates out from us. And that's the force field that people interact with and they get a read off of us, right? Or that when we interact with someone, we can just sort of feel something on them, right? We're interacting in that moment with the energy that's radiating off of them. I recently was studying a tradition that also actually mapped that inward as well. So in the same, in direct correlation to how far that energy field radiates out from us, there's also an inverse of it radiating in us. And that is exactly like you said, that's the energy field that's holding certain things inside of our body that ultimately then can manifest as both energetic imbalances, but physical imbalances, health imbalances, emotional imbalances, all of that good stuff.
Wow, that's fascinating. Can you tell us more about those traditions?
A lot of energy traditions will talk about the aura and talk about the layers of the aura, the auric field. And in that, we'll talk about a physical layer, an emotional layer, a mental layer, and a spiritual layer.
Oh, and by the way, quick Webster Dictionary, can you also help us define aura?
Aura, yeah. I would define our aura as our energy field. I would define the aura just as the energy field.
Got it.
And that's just the energy force that radiates off of any living being. So a plant has an aura, you know, an animal has an aura. Any living entity that's radiating energy has an auric field. And at the spiritual layer, that is the layer where we would believe that's the layer where everything starts to connect, right? So that's the layer where I am actually connected to you, and I'm connected to the tree, and I'm connected to the animals. You know, as we move up that out in that field, we start to reach the places where we are all interconnected.
Can you kind of speak to that more about the interconnectedness of everything? Because, you know, as you speak, it's almost kind of like poetry. It sounds very poetic and beautiful and magical, but I feel like there's like a gap for me missing. I guess like my logical brain is begging for something that's more like, maybe it's just different labels and different words. Mm-hmm. So another word that came up for me was life force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so totally. We could say that layer is the life force or an animating force. And so that's this place where there's one animating force that's giving life to all beings, right? You know, part of it's tricky is that as we move into these territories, actually, we start to move outside of the confines of our rational mind. So the rational mind struggles, right? Because it wants to define these things. And when we move into energetic realms, we're actually moving into spaces where things are meant to be undefined, right? In like the vastest like energetic sense, energy is just like energy and it's totally undefined. And then we form it into certain shapes and creations and structure. We give it structure and then we give it meaning and definition, right? Mm-hmm. We've taken the matter now it's a chair and we've defined that by a chair, right? Mm-hmm. But when we, you know, dissolve the chair and we move back out into the energy field, it has no structure anymore and the rational mind doesn't do well out there. I would say another way that I think about this, so a tool that I use a lot in my teaching is this idea of micro macro healing. And the map I use for that is this idea that everything that happens inside my physical body is mirrored somewhere out in the world at large and vice versa. Anything that's happening in the world at large is mirroring back to me something that's happening in myself. We work with this in energy healing because then we just understand that anything that happens to me, any information I get from the world, I can actually use that as a mirror to look at what might be wanting attention, healing, support within myself. And then vice versa, that by regarding myself, by taking care of my issues by offering myself healing, that is how I influence the world around me. And it's not about a selfish regard, but about recognizing that I'm not separate from the world around me. And I can't pretend that I am. Everything that's happening to me influences the world around me and vice versa.
I think it's a beautiful experience. Everyone should experience at least once or be aware of. And I think I'm just thinking back to that client scenario where someone's coming into your office saying, you know, I just want to manifest some money or help me unblock this chakra. And that's something coming from the rational mind. Through conversation with you, I'm learning that, yes, that may be the goal that our rational mind has created. But when we get back to the level of energy, thinking about things at a micro and macro level, then we could uncover things that are more important or are more true.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like in that example, someone comes, they go, I need to make more money, I need to make more money. That to them in that moment is the issue. So I can meet that and go, okay, like I honor that that's what feels present for you. Then when I get into the energy field, what we really uncover is deeper roots of not feeling safe or not feeling connected, right? And so as we heal the issues of not feeling safe, not feeling connected, suddenly the shifts that happen bring a person to a place where they go, oh, I actually don't need the money anymore. Mm. Because the money was a stand-in for feeling safe or feeling connected. If I heal the core issue of wanting to feel safe and connected, yes, money's there because it is the system that we are operating our society on and we have it to meet our needs and all of that, right? So it's not that we suddenly run off into the woods and we don't and disavow all material things, but it's that suddenly like what we thought was the issue, what we thought was the need, making a lot of money, is not the need at all. And when we meet the actual need, suddenly everything starts to align in ways where we actually get our needs met, where we actually feel our lives in harmony with the world around us. And then we're able to make choices that are actually supporting the world around us as well, right? We go, oh, it's not that I need money. I need to feel connected and I need to feel of service in my community and I need to feel like I'm taking care of the environment, you know, things like that.
So in a live session, what are you doing with the client to get to that? So, if you could visualize it for us.
Yeah, so after talking a bit, the client will lie down on, it's like a massage table. And then they get to sort of drop out. You know, some people fall asleep, some people sort of go to a dreamy place. And I'm just working hands-on on their body and their energy system. And that can look like me channeling a bunch of energy into the system. That can look like me sometimes pulling things, like, and if there's congestion or if there's things on their energy system that don't need to be there, that want to be removed, sometimes that's a pulling. Sometimes there's a little bit of talking or an interaction where I'm guiding the person to interact with something energetically that's showing up in their body, because sometimes the person is sort of called to participate in releasing the energy or shifting the energy or turning the energy into something new. Sometimes they sleep, I work, and then on the other side, we might talk about our shared experiences. And then I, you know, the way I think about this stuff is that anything that shows up for me in a session, the person's body and system is showing me what is prime for transformation. And so I like to give people just little nuggets of what is actually transforming in their system so that they get to support that. I consider myself a healer. And at the same time, it's a participation. You know, the person has to participate in their own healing. Clients that come to me that just want a magic bullet and want me to quick fix them are never going to make as much progress as those that come and are ready to do the work. And so my energy work is really helping their system bring things up for transformation that then the person is going to participate in so that their healing becomes a very personal healing journey.
Intention is really big here.
Yeah, we have to do our work, you know, is my real thing. We have to do our own work. We can call in support. We can call in guides. We can call in containers for it, right? Like, I really think of my job as to hold the container for work to happen. But people have to do their own work.
And I want to keep visualizing for the audience what's happening. Mm-hmm. So they're on the massage table. Are they typically lying on their back or on their face or on their stomach?
Usually face up.
And are you kind of like walking all around them, or are you touching them, hovering your hands over them?
Yeah, I tend to work hands-on. So I tend to touch the clients, gentle hands-on, as long as that's okay with them. I can hover if people prefer that. And I do, I move all around their body, and I sort of go wherever zones I'm called to. Sometimes I'll step back from the table and I'll just be working sort of out in a bigger field sense. Sometimes I'm working very close on like a specific part of their body. It really sort of can shift session to session. And it's also worth noting, and this is another place where I'm like going to play with stretching the audience's belief a little bit. Mm-hmm. This work can be done at a distance. So I do some sessions where I'm just on the phone with people, because when you're talking about working in the realm of energy, I can connect to someone's energy field. You know, I can connect to your energy field right now and work. Or I could also connect to it with you lying on the table in front of me. And it's actually no different.
Wow. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. That's another one that's a stretch for people's mind. But, you know, the coolest thing about this work for me, actually, is that in following the curiosity with it, it actually keeps stretching my mind's idea of what's possible. And I think that's really profound. I think that pushing our brains to stretch our understanding of what's possible is very healthy. We've actually, most of us have like gotten locked into habits that have given us very small little frames of understanding what's possible. And so I think anything following any practice or curiosity that pokes us to stretch our idea of what's possible is super healthy for the brain.
Phrase that comes to mind is believing in magic. And I'm not saying that this isn't magic, but I do think there is a magic to life that can get forgotten as we live life. And what you're explaining is welcoming and inviting people who go into energy work, Reiki or otherwise, that if they allow themselves to surrender to their experience, it's kind of a way of seeing magic.
Yeah, totally that. You know, that is the experience that I have with a lot of people, is they start to wake up to an awareness and a connection to life that has been lost or buried. It's a connection, actually, that a lot of people, when they start to wake it up again, remember having as a kid. It certainly stretches our idea of what's possible, right? It certainly surfaces a place in us that may have doubts, you know what I mean, or may be afraid, or all of that. For me, it is. It's like waking up the magic, but it's also realizing that that's actually more the truth, you know? And that everything else was the illusion. The separation was the illusion. You know, when I talk to people that are skeptical too, they'll sort of, like, the most common response to this kind of, and really a lot of alternative work, is the like, oh, well, it's in the mind. It's a placebo effect, right? And I always giggle at that, because I'm like, that is incredible. Like, the concept of placebo is unbelievable. We've written it off like it's a joke, and it's actually profound. The idea that my mind, if I get my mind to believe that something is possible, it is just as effective. That's incredible. So how is that not magic? Like, let's for a second, you know, say that energy work is totally fake and bullshit, and all I'm doing when a client comes to me is I'm convincing them that I'm doing something that's healing them, and because they're convinced it's working, that's magic. That's unreal, you know? Like, if the mind can heal itself just through suggestion, that's incredible. Like, I can't think of anything more magical than that, you know?
I totally agree with you. And my marketing mind is going towards like a phrase like, it's not just placebo, it's possible.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's great. That's great. It's not just placebo, it's possible. But, you know, I think placebo is magic. The placebo effect is magic. It's funny to me that we've coined it in a way that is sort of like a toss away. You know, it actually discredits how powerful we are. It discredits how powerful our mind is.
Yeah.
Now, I come back around and say, energy is very real. The energetic exchanges I have with people are very real. They're very visceral at this point, you know. So I'm not saying that I think it's fake and it's just the power of suggestion thing. But what I am saying is, you know, those things are the crack in the veil. It's just like this sort of world of separation and black and white that we've been sold. And when you start to explore some of these practices, you start to poke it. and you go like, huh, maybe things aren't as limited as I've been sold. Like maybe there's a lot more going on that I haven't realized. And in fact, maybe if I start to explore all that, I'm going to have a lot more power in this world than I have before.
How many of your clients are walking in skeptical about it versus kind of like being in this world already and wanting their Reiki fix?
Yeah, I've had different waves. And I'll be honest, the work has changed immensely, frankly, just in the past 3 years we just live in a thing, just the climate change, right? Like the political climate change, the societal climate change, like things have shifted so dramatically in the past few years. I think everyone's aware of that, but I think because of the work I've done, I've had these certain markers almost where I've watched the work shift in relation to what's happening on a global scale. And that's been super interesting because it sort of gives me a sense of these collective shifts where I go like, whoa, people are dropping in deeper. Whoa, people are dropping in deeper. And I say that to say like, you know, when I first started doing the work, it was a lot more people sort of new age curious, wanting to get their chakras aligned. Mm. I would say the first like 6 months that I was doing the work, that was very much it. And then if I'm honest with the last election, when Trump got elected, it was like almost overnight, the work shifted dramatically. And all of a sudden it was deep trauma. People were coming in with deep trauma. Like I had to play catch up to it actually as a practitioner, you know, because I'd been doing a lot of like, yeah, you're holding stress from work. And like, you know, like you're blah, 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 blah. And we're just going to, you know, adjust this energy a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was like with overnight, it was suddenly like, oh my God, unimaginable trauma, unimaginable experiences that people were going like, I can't not address this anymore. And then now I would say, and so then that's continued and it'll go in different waves. And I would say a lot of times the most skeptical people that are coming to me are the people that have the deepest trauma, right? So it's actually people that don't buy it, but they are at such a breaking point that they're willing to try anything. For a long period of time, that was sort of my sweet spot of clients, of people that go, listen, I don't buy this bullshit, but I have to shift this thing, whatever it might be, sometimes physical, sometimes emotional. And so I'm willing to try anything.
It sounds like, and I've totally been there, the feeling of being stuck in your being and maybe just stuck in one way, mm-hmm. not being able to move and evolve and just something blocking. I feel like that's why I would be very curious to go get some Reiki myself.
Now, recently, I've had a whole wave of a lot of both students and clients that are therapists. So I'm like moving through a lot of clinical psychologists right now, actually. Yes. And it's really exciting because it's therapists, it's people trained in clinical psychology, and yet they're starting to realize that it's not to discount all the training they've had and the skills they have, but they're having this awareness that there's another layer that they have to be able to meet their client at. And so they're wanting to bridge these practices. They're wanting to sort of bring layers of awareness into how they're working with clients, realizing that like working just at the mental level isn't quite getting them where they want to go. And they can feel that there's a deeper level that wants to be addressed, but they just have never been exposed to it, you know? So that's been really exciting and cool because I think these worlds want to bridge. Like I'm not anti-medicine, I'm not anti-psychology, like I'm not anti any of these systems that we've been working with. It's just like we're working with one arm, you know, and we should be working with two arms. We're looking at people compartmentalized, and I don't think we can. You can't heal someone by looking at one aspect of them or one capacity within them. We have to look at people as whole beings, and we have to look at the healing arts as a whole being almost, and use all the tools that we have available to us.
For these skeptics who finally give it a shot and meet with you, is there typically kind of a aha moment for them? Like maybe you could generalize like the types of things that they would say where maybe they really feel it or the light bulb goes on for them?
So a lot of people have very visceral experiences on the table, right? So for a lot of people, they come right out of the session and go, whoa, I felt energy moving in my body. And for a lot of people, that's the first time that they've felt that, you know? So in those cases, it's pretty easy, right? Because you go like, great, and that was how it was for me. I was skeptical, but it didn't take much to move that skepticism because I felt it viscerally in the first session.
What were you feeling?
What I just felt. So for me, it felt, what it'll feel like a lot of times, it can feel like tingles moving up and down the body. It can feel like waves of heat moving up or temperature changes moving up and down the body. Sometimes it's actual pain will sort of shoot and move from one spot where it's being held down and released throughout the body. So there's a lot of different ways that people can viscerally feel the energy move, but you can feel it. Every person has a different interaction with this work, but for those that sort of really connect to it viscerally, you can feel the energy moving up and down your body. You can feel things release, you know, your body will pop or sort of twitch and like release and stuff. So people will have that kind of visceral experience. Like I had a man that I worked with for a while who he had been in the World Trade Center when the first plane hit. And that was by far not the worst thing that had happened to him in his life, right? There's a lot that had happened to him. When he came to me, he came and he said, he goes, listen, I won't ever be happy. Like that was his understanding of life. He's wow. Like, I've had too much shit happen to me. I'm not going to be happy. My goal is just to want to keep living. Like as long as I want to keep getting up each day, then I'm doing okay. But like, don't come in here thinking you're going to make me happy, because that's just not going to be part of my life. That was really his belief. And we worked for a series of months, and by the end, he came to me and he said, he's like, I am happy. I feel inspired and excited by life again. And I don't say that to give credit to myself or the work that I did, but I took it as a humbling of the power of the work itself, right? He'd been in therapy. He'd talked about stuff, right? Like he'd worked these things through at a mental level. He'd come to an understanding around his life. But when we were able to drop in and work at the energetic level, he could shift and maneuver some stuff in a relatively short amount of time that actually allowed space to open up for him to have a different emotional experience than what he thought was possible day to day.
That actually leads to an idea I had listening to you, which is, you know, you have people going to energy healers and Reiki practitioners. And for this client, for example, he's found ways that his energy is moving in his own body and maybe being able to shift it around. So I'm curious about going to a professional for this type of stuff. And on the other hand, building self-reliance about this stuff. Like how do you help clients think about that?
Totally. So like when I work with clients, what I usually say is like, it's like anything, especially when people are trying to move big things in the beginning, consistency and some sort of dedicated time for yourself is powerful, right? And at the same time, I'm always trying to give people tools that they can work with on their own and in between sessions. The ultimate goal, actually, my goal is not to heal people's trauma, because I guess that's a goal. But at the same time, that's a big mountain to climb. A better goal is to empower people to just understand how this is all working in them and around them so that they can start to engage with it consciously. Because the truth is, we're not, you know, someone can come to me and we can resolve all their trauma, but what happens if in a month something very traumatic happens again, right? We're not protected and shielded from the harsh stuff that can happen in life. But when we understand how that impacts us energetically, when we understand the energetic exchange of that, of those experiences within us and in the people then that we're interacting with, when we can take responsibility for it, then we actually start to see sustainable healing. And also we can start to bounce back from the experiences of our life faster. So that instead of me taking 20 years to resolve something that happened to me when I was a kid, now something terrible could happen to me, but I have the tools and the understanding to meet it and to hold it within myself and to resolve it in real time. So that then I'm now also not traumatizing the people around me, because that's, you know, what we're talking about in a big scale when we talk about healing right now is this idea of traumatized people spread trauma, right? We're in trauma cycles. We're in trauma cycles in a societal sense. We're in a trauma cycle as a country, as a world. We're in a trauma cycle.
Hurt people.
We want to heal trauma so that we don't traumatize other people. We want to stop the trauma cycle. And stopping the trauma cycle, yes, it's about healing old trauma, but it's actually about coming into responsibility in this present moment, understanding how my energy system is impacted by the world around me and how it impacts the world around me so that I take responsibility for it in real time.
For someone maybe sitting at home right now, listening and really feeling like, okay, I'm interested in this, but maybe I don't have the budget or time to go to a practitioner yet. what can I do like on my own, like right now? Maybe something that's like low hanging fruit that I could do. What would you suggest for them?
Three things that are really powerful. One is our breath. And we hear this a lot when we are in a charged moment or feeling ourselves having a charged moment or just feeling ourselves in a like low level state of stress constantly. Finding moments to pause and bring awareness to the breath. And actually for me, it's always about dropping my breath as deep into my body as possible. Because for me, stress, trauma, when I get triggered by something and I feel my system rise into that fight or flight mode or into defense or into a trauma state, all of my energy and my tension rises up, right? I sort of like lift up out of my chair and get ready to have to do something. Mm. And so for me, I always go to dropping my awareness and my breath as low into my body as possible because I want to bring myself back into my body and back into the moment. Connected to that, another one is bringing awareness to the soles of our feet and actually getting our feet more grounded on the ground. So a lot of us like don't really let our weight and our awareness come all the way down into our body and into our feet. So for me, another one is bringing my awareness down into my feet. And for people that have anxiety, I talk a lot about when they're feeling that anxiety, usually people have the experience of anxiety up in their chest or on their shoulders, neck, that sort of thing. Rather than thinking of trying to stop the energy or get rid of it, because that's how most people think of it. They want to stop that feeling. Mm-hmm. And that actually just revs us up more, right? Because you can't stop a feeling. That's like an absurd thing that we've been told, to try to stop a feeling. The way I think about it is actually trying to sort of spread out that feeling across my whole body so that it doesn't feel so intense in one space. So if I'm feeling the charge of anxiety around my chest, I actually imagine trying to send some of that energy down the length of my whole body, all the way down to my feet. And now that energy, now my whole body is helping me hold and support the energy, so it doesn't feel as intense and uncomfortable as it did when it was all being held in my chest.
Body awareness.
And so then, and with that, the third and final thing, and this is actually probably the most powerful thing anyone can do, is when they're having an emotional reaction, a trigger, whatever it is, to pause the part of us that wants to figure it out and fix it and actually just sit with the sensation in the body. So I'm feeling suddenly sad or scared, and the instinct is to go to my brain and figure out, why am I sad or scared? What's the story? What's the problem? How can I fix it? How can I protect myself against it again? All that. That mechanism in and of itself is actually traumatizing because we leave ourselves. We're leaving the experience, which is that our body is just having a feeling of fear or sadness. If we can learn to just stay with the feeling in the body and just let it run its course, we actually start to smooth out some of those trauma cycles and some of the trigger cycles. Also, we'll start to realize that like a lot of times the fear and the sadness doesn't feel as bad as we think it does. It's our story about it that's uncomfortable. It's not the actual sensation in the body.
Wow. I absolutely agree with that. And I think about the flight or fight response, that a lot of this work can help us self-manage and just be aware of.
We can't connect in our most healthy or authentic way. We can't like operate at our highest functioning. We don't have all of our brain capacity. Like, we are not most open and available to life when we're in fight or flight. In fact, a ton of our faculties are shut down when we're in that state. So we've glorified stress in our society and glorified, the hustle. Mm-hmm. When in reality, that energy hacks our brain capacity to pieces.
Absolutely. Just a quick recap, something that anyone can do on a self-reliance, self-care level. And I feel like this isn't even specifically from Reiki, it's just like great to just pay attention to, is you said one, your breath, two, your body, and feeling it being rooted to the ground and being just aware of the body. And three, sitting with emotions and not avoiding them and managing that flight or fight response.
Yeah.
That's great. And I hope we could transition to some rapid fire questions about Reiki and a little bit about yourself. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of these I gathered from friends as well as from my own head. So Reiki, how expensive is it? How much should someone expect to pay for it if they're interested in getting this done?
That's a big range. I would say in LA, the standard range is anywhere from $80 to $150 for an hour session, sometimes way more. Some people do longer sessions, sometimes people do shorter sessions. I often try to offer some sliding scale sessions. There also are a lot of practitioners that will offer lower sliding scale rates for people that are trying to find it accessibly.
Is Reiki covered by health insurance?
No, I have yet to hear of health insurance that covers Reiki. Maybe one day, but I don't know if I would want to deal with health insurance anyway.
I heard that many hospitals will refer to their patients to Reiki, but I'm not sure how that works.
There are some hospitals that are, it's not that it's covered under insurance, but they will bring in energy workers to actually run energy in surgery rooms. So there's been a few different hospitals that have been doing studies of having energy workers just in an operating room. They're not touching the patient, but they're just in the operating room running energy in the operating room while the surgeons are operating. And they've been starting to do tests on the recovery rates of those patients when they've got a Reiki practitioner in the operating room versus when they don't.
Amazing. I'd love to dig into those studies. Is there anyone who shouldn't do Reiki? Slash the type of maybe client that you would be more prone to turn away and recommend them something else?
I don't think there's anyone that shouldn't do Reiki. I've had clients that if they're in a certain severity of like mental instability, I will just maybe say that they're not, that that's not the right timing, or I would need to know that they're working with a team of other practitioners as well. Because I will say, like, the work can sometimes shift deep stuff that can shake people up a little bit. So I have people that'll have sessions and it can rattle them for a couple of days if we've moved something deep that they've been carrying. And it's all toward healing. But if you don't have a degree of stability and structure around your life to be able to sort of hold yourself for a couple of days while you might be feeling a little bit of like emotional turbulence, then it's not the best idea to sort of shake that up.
Can anyone be a Reiki healer?
Yes. And I'm actually, a lot more of my work now is teaching, and I'm super passionate about, I would love to create trainings that are for everyone, that everyone essentially awakens their energy healing capacities and then utilizes that in their offices, in whatever realm they're working in life. I think that like energy work is actually like just an inherent ability we all have that I'm really passionate about bringing people back to and waking up in them.
What are some other practices or tools that pair very nicely with Reiki? For example, I watch a few videos on YouTube and some people like burn sage or incorporate essential oils. I'm curious what you think of other tools that are brought into the Reiki practice.
I do a lot of work with stones and with different healing crystals. I do some work with essential oils in the session. You know, burning sage and Palo Santo and things like that have gotten really trendy in the new. There's a certain degree of irresponsibility that can come with that. Like there's a relationship to those plants that hasn't always been developed by people, you know? So when it comes to burning things and working with plants and different things like that, with any of these practices, I'm an advocate for making sure you understand what you're doing and building a relationship with the practice that feels aligned and feels like you actually know the lineage of what you're working with.
Is Reiki a traditionally Japanese practice?
Yeah, so Reiki is a Japanese lineage of energy healing. And then there's shamanic work, which has a lot of different lineages of healing. And then there's a lot of different energy lineages and practices. Reiki is Japanese.
For the curious, what are some great beginner resources that you would recommend to people to learn about Reiki?
So there's a book that I love. It's called The Magic of Reiki. Christopher Penzack, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. And he has a philosophy around it that I agree with, which is he also looks at it as a lineage and a tool that can be used among many lineages and many tools. And so he's just so sort of open and curious interaction with it, which I appreciate.
And some more personal questions to cap off the conversation. Reiki or not included, what are some of your favorite forms of self-care when you are feeling very stressed or just need a break?
So lately, there's this park not far from me. It's like a little garden, and there's this one tree that I just love, and there's a chair under the tree, and I can actually take my shoes off and put my bare feet on the roots of this tree. So lately, that's been my go-to. It's like when I'm feeling a little crunchy or just a little disconnected, I go and even just for 20 minutes, sit with my bare feet on the roots of this tree.
It's such a simple thing, but being barefoot in nature on soft grass, the best thing ever.
It's super powerful. We're really disconnected from nature in the city. And so I don't think people realize how grounding and connecting it can be to go get into those spaces.
What are some of your favorite medicines, which can include food or otherwise?
I would say music for me actually is a major medicine. Like music, I use music a lot to help work with my moods and my energies. I would say humor and play is actually a big medicine for me. It's funny, I do this work and it's all very like serious trauma-based, you know, or that's, you know, the way I talk about it. I'm quite funny. I'm around funny people. Like I like to make light of this stuff because I think it's super important right now to have laughter and joy amongst it all.
I definitely think that makes you stand out and very relatable and approachable about all of this.
Yeah, I hope so. Like we have to laugh. When I do trainings, I usually jar people the first, you know, in the first couple of trainings, I'll start cursing and like making jokes about the stuff, and people are sort of like, "Oh, it's very sacred. We're supposed to be very sacred about this." And you're like, "Yes, it's very sacred, and we are supposed to laugh." Like, there's the sacredness in humor.
Absolutely. And a more loaded question: what are some of the other alternative healing type practices that you love, and maybe what are some that you kind of judge yourself or don't like?
I've done a lot of breath work, and I have had a lot of profound experiences with breath work. I'm a big advocate for plant medicine work, yoga, like really simple, basic yoga, but yoga is actually a really powerful practice that's gotten very commercialized. And simple meditation, like old school simple meditation practice, is like probably the root of where I started with all of this. And so I always come back to that, and I'm really empowered by that. And things like pulling cards and divination, tools like that. Like I work with a lot of those sort of tools, and actually like old school, almost herbal sort of medicine crafts practices I can really get into. Let me think about, so things that I have judgment of. I'm scared to do that.
Yeah, either not your jam, or you think that it's being maybe very heavily practiced in not a great way.
I mean, with all of these things, it runs at risk, right? Like plant medicine right now, especially in LA, is having a surge, and there's a danger because there are people that are not holding the right containers for it. You know, breathwork's the same. Breathwork's gotten very, very trendy in LA. And so, you know, some people, you can, excuse my language, you can fuck people up with any of these tools. If you're not holding the right container, if you're not holding the right container, so LA is an interesting city for this work because people are very open to it. And so it allows for a lot of it to emerge. And at the same time, it takes off really fast. And so sometimes I watch the way things get, you know, they get trendy and people want to make them trendy. And we're making things trendy at the, like, and we're sacrificing the quality of the container that you're doing the work in. And this is like real work, you know, this is emotional, spiritual, mental work, and these tools are powerful. So yeah, you can fuck people up. It's not just like trendy, you know what I mean, fun alternative Friday night stuff. It can be that, but it also can be really transformative. So yeah, I would say that. Like I struggle with sort of like raising an eyebrow and rolling my eyes at some of the trendiness that the trendy packaging that comes around some of this stuff in the city. And my question is always like, is it grounded? Are we holding the container right?
I love that you say that because that's the entire theme of Hippie Critical. A lot of things from the counterculture are now becoming common culture. And on one hand, that's great. Like, so be it that core power yoga is everywhere and making tons of money. And if it's helping elevate people a little bit, then great. But at the same time, I think having that critical eye of like, is this being too packaged, too trendy? Is there a lack of responsibility by these parties?
Yeah. And I was having a question, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend today who does similar work, and we were talking about this capitalization of this stuff, right? So you funnel it into a money-making industry. And so I loved that you asked me the question, like, how can people access these tools if they don't have the resources to see a practitioner and all this stuff? And that's like, and right, this is my life's work. Like, obviously, I want people able to pay for my services. And at the same time, I have to be aware of like wanting to contribute to a system that allows people to access healing and wellness regardless of their resources. Healing should not be for the uber wealthy only. Like, we're super fucked if that's the system we're creating, you know? This shouldn't be a luxury. These things shouldn't be a luxury. They're not a luxury in my mind, because this is how we're going to save the planet. Like, people got to get well. And so, yeah, when we make it super trendy, when we make it exclusive, when we create these packagings and containers for the work where people feel like they aren't good enough to show up to that room, or they're not thin enough to show up to that room, or they're not spiritual enough to show up to that room, all these things, we've already missed the mark.
Totally agree. I think that's a great segue to the last question for us. Do you have any parting words, any takeaways that you hope that, you know, in the hour of us talking, that if a listener just gleans one thing from this conversation, what would you like them to come away with?
Is that skepticism is totally healthy, and it can walk alongside curiosity. Curiosity is actually really disruptive and powerful energy. And like, we need people that are being disruptive right now on the planet, is what I think, right? Like, I think a lot of like, what's radical and what's disruptive at this time? And curiosity is radical and disruptive, right? Like, exploring something that's outside of the bounds of what you've been shown is disruptive. And I think if a lot more people got curious, we would withdraw energy from systems that are holding us back. And so my encouragement with all this stuff is like, get curious and just walk the curiosity, and you can bring your skepticism with you. But like, what if there's a whole world of possibility outside of what you've been told? And what if by exploring those possibilities, you actually have the power to start to withdraw your energy and attention from the very systems of your life that you aren't happy with?
Beautiful message. So send us away, Julia. How and where can people find the work that you do and connect with you?
So if you go to my website right now, is juliaalbain.com, J-U-L-I-A-A-L-B as in boy, A-I-N.com, juliaalbain.com. You can find all the information there. I see private clients in Highland Park. I lead a lot of energy training, different energetic trainings in different traditions, different circles, gatherings, workshops. I do a lot of different stuff at different times. Find me there. You can drop me a message. I'm also always happy to just chat about this stuff. So reach out, and you can find me on Instagram at Jules Marie, and all the information is there as well.
Wonderful. Julia, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So fun. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for holding the space, for being generous with your time, and meeting my curiosity and skepticism too. It's been such a blast talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Hippie Critical. There's no higher honor you could pay us than to recommend us to a friend. Now think of your most skeptical friend who could find a lot of entertainment and value in this podcast or this episode. You could also check us out at hippiecritical.org. That's hippiecritical.org. Thank you for your presence.